All right, we are going to get into, in my opinion, probably the most, this is really hard to say because many of these chapters in the New Testament are like this, but we're going to get into the book of Ephesians. People ought to read Ephesians at least a couple of times a year. Just go straight through it and not stop. Amen. We should be looking at parts of it frequently because it's so rich. So, book of Ephesians. This is written by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul has some things that we need to hear about concerning just this walk with God. Amen. So I have a title for this message called Your Inheritance. Your Inheritance. Everybody understands something. This is a big deal for all of us because Christians and Christianity in so many ways is completely misunderstood. Let alone the way people think about God, okay? We've got to get it through the Bible and not by somebody's experience, okay? When the Bible says something, we need to go, that's the truth. And if you'll believe that what God says is the truth, then your life will turn around. Amen? You will step into something that you have never been in before taking that step. And we're going to go through that today. So here's what I want you to think about as I go through. We're just going to start with verse 1, chapter 1. But I'm going to ask you to pay attention over the next 14 verses. Pay attention to how many times the word will is used, okay? How many times is the word will used? Now, in the kingdom of God, the will of God runs everything. Say everything. God's will runs everything. Everything. God's will is His plan, His purpose. What He does is in fact under the authority of His will. Okay? Not a hard thing. Your will drives your life. Amen. So please understand that the use of the word will certainly includes your will, your desire, God's will, His desire. That's a part of it. But I want to flip your little brain around because I know your brain is as little as mine is. It's a small little thing that leaks. Amen. And stuff comes in and stuff leaks out. Amen. Yeah. As I left every cord that I took to Seattle, I left it in Seattle. Amen? Just bad news when you have phones and you have razors. Yes. So, thank God I have a daughter going out there next week. Amen? And coming back. So, at any rate, Ephesians 1, we'll start there and we'll find out what God has to say in this particular section of Scripture. Verse 1, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. First time it's used. By the will of God. Now, I'm going to flip your little mind around from the will of God as in His desires and His plan. And we're going to flip it to include what all of us know as a document that is a legal document that in effect transfers what your parents had to their heirs. Okay, everybody know what I'm talking about? The last will and testament. The last will and testament. Jocelyn's dad, we have his last will and testament in our files. My dad, we have his last will and testament in our files because that tells you what he is bestowing on you. Okay? And just for my curiosity, how many of you have ever received some inheritance of some kind? Okay? All right? I feel so sorry for those of you that haven't. Because it's the greatest thing ever. You know why? The only thing you did to have any connection with whatever they're transferring to you is the fact that you are a legal heir of theirs. Yes, amen. It's documented who the heirs are. Now, it's not hairs. It should be. It's H-E-I-R. So an heir, we shorten it in America, amen. An heir has something given to them by reason of their relationship with a parent. Okay? Now, let's just look at what Paul said. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. By the will of God. By the will of God. Now, hang on to your hats here. Hang on. The Bible says that God has a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Everybody know that? In the many, 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 many people, you can find thousands of them that have in the last 20 years, because they can resuscitate people after they've died. We have numerous people that have said that they went to the gates of heaven, and when they got there, they saw the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a huge book. And there's a book at every gate. Okay, there's 12 gates. So there's a book there. And you can't get in the gate until they find your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen, amen.
So you really want to have your information, your all your IDs, you know, all that with you when you're on your way to heaven so that they can positively say this is you. Got to have your passport. Amen. So, guess what? God wrote the book about our life before he made us, before he made earth. He's going to tell you about that in just a minute. So I want you to understand the Apostle Paul's will included his gifting. Included his calling. Now, I just want to land here for just a minute, okay? Your calling and your gifting defines who you are. So many people have an awful time figuring out who they are, okay? And so many people will look for who they are in all the wrong places, because a bartender didn't make you. Okay? A soothsayer didn't make you. All right? A psychiatrist didn't make you. And the more you look inside, the more confused you'll get. But when you step into your calling, you'll go, whoa! I can do this. And I love this. I stepped into something now that I'd pay to do, and I'm getting paid for doing it. Okay? It's your calling. It is a crucial part of our life with God. And if you are out there looking for your calling, one of the people that we support in ministry is a man named Owen Adams. Owen and Mary are in Tulsa. They work with addicts there. They've been in India. We're in India for I think 7 or 8 years. Missionaries there. And Owen said, you know, Pastor, he had a broken time in his life, and he came to our church out in Sterling, and he said, as he stayed in the church, he literally stayed in the church because his wife kicked him out. Okay, so that was the problem. So as he began to hear the word of God, he said, you know, Pastor Brian, he said, I cannot tell you how many different jobs I've had. He said, literally, it would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 60 jobs. He said, every one of those jobs, after I got started in it, I hated it. He said, I absolutely hated it. Until at, my goodness, about 50 years of age, he said, I turned to God and gave him my life, and he opened up the door for me to represent him. And he said, from the day that I stepped into my calling, he said, I've never looked for another job. He said, it just was me. And his wife, just such a great call on her life, and just such an incredible ministry that they have to get people out of addictions. Amen. It's just rampant all over the world. It's not just in America. It's just rampant all over the world. So big deal. Big deal. God already wrote it down. God already has your gifts ready. He's got your calling ready. Everything ready to go except your will. And he'll maneuver your will around to give you opportunities. And you'll look at an opportunity and you go, wow, I don't know if I want to do that or not. And if you make the right choice, you'll step right into your call. Amen. It's just a phenomenal thing. And people are called to every aspect of life. So there are people that are called to be in business. There are people called to be teachers. There are people called in different areas of our culture. They are called to be that as long as it is sin-free. Amen. You're not called to be a bad guy. Amen. Nobody called to be a bad guy. God's got a good plan for everybody, and we're going to read about that. Say, so that's the first will. In the will that God is going to give you your, as an heir, he's going to give you what he has for you. Amen? And when you step into that place, you'll never look back, ever, ever, ever. If you do, it's probably a different calling, and just ask him. You know, I feel like I'm not quite where I'm supposed to be, and he'll move you right to where you need to be. Now, here's something that I think we just underestimate. Bible says here in verse 2 of chapter 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Is there anything in there that says, I hate you when you do this, and I dislike you when you do this, and I really would like to run you out of the body of Christ when you do this. It's grace and peace. Grace and peace. Amen. And then grace and peace will pile something on you called a blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Somebody said to me one time, you know, Pastor, that don't make any difference in my life. I said, what are you talking about? He said, all those blessings are spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. They ain't going to do me any good. And I wanted to say, have you ever read where the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace when you're alive on planet Earth? Not when you're dead. Amen. Not when you're dead. Well, when you're dead, you're alive in heaven. Amen. If you've got Jesus in your heart. So here's the thing. The spiritual blessings are the best blessings. They're the blessed blessings. I say that. They are the best blessings because they cannot be taken from you. Yes. Amen. That's a good blessing. Okay? Now, I want you to see that the first will that appeared was the will that gave us our calling. Now we're going to go down and we're going to find something else. We have a blessing with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Devil can't get to them. Amen. But they can come into you when you turn your heart to the throne of God in heaven and come to God so that you might have His answers and His blessings. Amen. So, just as He has chosen us, this is verse 4, in Him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, there you go. He chose us all, He created us all, and put us in the Lamb's Book of Life and started pouring out His blessing. Now, hang on, watch this. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. God's plan is for you to be holy and blameless. We could not do that when we were born in sin because of Adam's mess at the beginning of the whole book. Amen. God knew that would happen and God knew how to fix it. So understand that. He gives man a will of his own. And He wants you and tells you over and over and over and pleads with you over and over and over all through your life, do it my way. Let me help you, okay? But if we don't want to do what He wants us to do, we have that option. But let me tell you, that doesn't get you anywhere in eternity. That's good. It gets you someplace, but ain't. It's not where you want to be, I can guarantee you. Hallelujah. Okay? So, He's going to have us be holy and righteous and blameless. And you and I say, are you kidding me? I can't even go 10 minutes without a weird thought in my mind. Amen. How is that holy and blameless? It's because God sees you where you're going to be. Amen. Jesus took care of your sin. He took care of everybody's sin. People will say by the thousands, well, I did this and therefore, you know, that was so bad. You know, I did something that, you know, ended a guy's life. It was a horrible thing. I can never get right with God. And God's saying, are you kidding? Jesus already did it. He already made you right with me. You can't do anything about it, but He did. you're right with me. And by the way, I don't even know what you're talking about by what you're telling me. Because I forget when I forgive. Amen. That's a good thing for everybody. Forget when you forgive. Don't be the kind of person that says, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, that all that's going to do is put a hole in you that will never, ever, ever get healed. Okay? It'll just keep pricking you. Just sticking you just about every 5 minutes sometimes. Okay, so God makes us right. We can't make ourselves right after being born in sin. But he has a way that he can do it. And he's going to tell you about it right now. So in verse 5, he says this. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Aren't you glad that God's intention is not to rip your life apart? See, people say, well, my gosh, I know this guy. He was a great Christian. He died in the worst car wreck that anybody ever saw in their life. What kind of a God is he serving? A God that when he came out of his body at the end of the wreck was saying, oh, man, that was a spectacular wreck, man. I'll tell you what. But now you're in heaven. Yeah. You're in heaven. And don't think I made you have that wreck. It was the truck behind you. God been on dope all night long so that he could get into Dodge at the right time and just slammed into you. Well, why couldn't he stop that? I'll tell you why. Because you didn't ask him to. Please understand. God does what we ask him to do. Okay? And if you ask him every day of your life, you ought to wake up and say, Father, oh, I thank you for safety today, for all of my family, all of my loved ones. I thank you. We pray when we get ready to go on the highways, man, we pray for everybody on the highway. I don't want anybody to have a wreck because it's going to make me late. Well, I thought I'd be honest, honey. Yeah, we care about the people, absolutely. Amen. No doubt about that. But understand, ask him. He says, if you stay in the secret place of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, then he will be your rock. He will be your fortress. But he doesn't say that about somebody that just hopes or somebody that just goes, I'm a Christian, and doesn't ask God for anything. It takes you about 30 seconds to say, Father, just keep me safe. Keep everybody around me safe. Just put your hand on us so we will all be safe. And I'm going to tell you, in my life, I could tell you stories about driving down the road and just no way in the world could there have been an avoidance of a wreck. Nothing happened. And you just go, man, I love the way you move the cars. Whew. Just astounding. Okay? But learn your part. We all have a part. Our part is to ask. His part is to answer. And you go, well, he just didn't answer me. You got to know. You got to ask in faith. You can't just go, okay, God, and you're thinking about, you know, where you're going to eat lunch at. And you're saying, hey, God, help me. No. He wants you to focus. Okay, see, there's just so many things that people can do and fix most of their problems with God just by taking a few minutes of sincere conversation with the Lord. And then you'll find his kind intentions. Okay? And his kind intention for all of us, was to do what this just said. He's going to adopt every one of us. Amen. Amen. Every one of us was born in sin. Jesus came and took away our sin. And now he adopts us. I'll never forget this. Never forget this. This stunned me. Had a man in our church, the first church that we had out in eastern Colorado. I was preaching about adoption. And he was an insurance guy, just a sharp guy, just a blessing to our church. And he said, "Pastor, do you know something?" Because they had their first child was an adopted child. And then they had two other kids after they had the adopted one. So he said, "Pastor, I got to tell you something. It's on." There we go. Okay. Haven't done that in a long time. Amen. But he said, "Here's something you need to know." He said, "My adopted daughter has more power in her connection with us in a will and testament situation than my natural kids." I said, "You gotta be kidding me." He said, "No." He said, "I didn't have to have all the paperwork on my own kids. I just got a gift certificate.
Here's a baby.
Yeah. It is a birth certificate before you get the gift certificate as the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the birth certificate's all I got." He said, "You ought to see the stack of paper I got for my girl. It guarantees that she's an heir. You are not getting her out. You're not kicking her out." Amen. I went, "Whoa, God made us heirs with papers." Whew. Glory to God. Made it legal. Hallelujah. His kind intention could be fulfilled that way. Okay, I'm going to go on up. In verse 7, "In him we have a redemption through his blood." Jesus' blood fallen on that ground was life. Bible says that it's the life in the blood that God used to turn all of humanity around. So, through his blood, and for forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. There again, he is forgiving our trespasses, and he's doing it through the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Now let's stop right there. There's another will. Amen. Third one. So he's now telling us that he's got a mysterious side to his will that you can only get through his wisdom and insight. You got to find this out about God. You really do. You just really do. You need to know that God is the author of hide and go seek. He's the author of the whole thing. He loves to play hide and go seek. And let me tell you, when you are dealing with issues of wisdom and understanding, you better go to him before you go anywhere else. Okay? And you say, "What do you mean go to him?" Just say, "Father, it's your wisdom and your insight that I'm asking you for. for. And Lord, I need to understand the mystery of your will. It's a mystery to me right now. But if, I know that if you'll just have the Holy Spirit, give me a push. Give me a bolt of lightning, or just give me a lamp. But give me something that I can see ahead and know what I need to do. Then you're good. You're good. When you pray like that, you will find the Lord will use people. He'll use kids. He'll use sunsets. He'll use clouds. He'll use numbers. He'll use all kinds of things if you're paying attention. Okay? Got to pay attention to get his wisdom and his understanding and insight. And then that mystery will be made known to you. Okay? So he is helping us understand the mysterious side of things in life. And does this, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention. There it is again, which he purposed in him with a view, talking about Jesus, to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will to the end. There's the fourth one. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now he's going to tell us, how do we get in to this flow with God? This is how. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's got you when you turn to him. You hear the gospel, you hear the good news, you hear that he has kind intentions, you hear that he has a way of living with you so that you can be close to him. And when you hear that, you respond in faith, then whammo, you just became a new creature in Christ. Okay, I'll be done when I get this into your head right here. How do I know, Pastor Brian, whether the seal hit me or missed me? Amen? Whew. I think it went right by me. So here's the deal. When you have the Holy Spirit move into your inward man, then something happens to you. It's if it's people like me that God was chasing for so long that he about threw up. Amen. Oh, he doesn't. That's right. He doesn't throw up because he's not sick. Yeah, just sick of us, but not sick. Not even sick of us, just, yeah, they're just kids, amen, that's what he's thinking. Okay, so, you're going to have something happen on the inside of you. I will say it this way, I got saved at night, September 30th, 1980. I went to my home, went from a Bible study, because that girl was in it, and I thought she was pretty darn cute. Yeah. So I didn't give a rip around it, whether she read the Bible or Mary had a little lamb or we just talked. I didn't care. Amen. Just let me have a peek. Yes, sir. Amen. So, with all the wrong motivations, I left that Bible study with a hunger for God. Because of what I heard, the gospel that they shared. And I had heard the phrase that God wants to be a personal Savior. He wants to be a part of your life. I had heard that 1,000 times and never had one ounce of feeling that in my life. And I went to church most of my life, okay? I just couldn't get it. Now, don't get me wrong. I prayed because I wanted God to help me win the golf matches, the basketball games, the football games, because men like games. Boys should like games. Men should like other things. But I'm sorry, we don't. I'm 65 and I still like games. I'm sorry. Amen. It's not sin. I'm just... All right. Some people, it's going to take you, like me, 2 seconds, and you go, I got something. Whoa! I got something that's pulling me to the Bible in my bedroom. Just as tangible to me as if I had a rope in my hand. Something right here got awakened in me. It's what it seemed to me like just went, well, now I know it's the Holy Spirit sealing me with salvation. Wow. My sister, on the other hand, had a longer journey. And she just kept on the road, on the road, on the road, on the road, until she said, I got this. I got it. Took her months, didn't it? Yeah, took her months. Of just walking it out, just walking it out, just walking it out. God just went boom with me, okay? And again, because I was in such a place that I was wanting a change in my life real bad. And that's what it takes. You got to want to change. Amen. And God's a good place to start. Amen. Okay, going to wrap this up with these words. So he has given us a pledge or a promise of our full salvation. The Holy Spirit is a down payment on our full inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, we're going to stop right there. And I want us all to understand that Jerry is not sick. Amen. He is healed. And that's fine. Or was that? Who's what? That was? All of you are? What a way to wreck the end of a sermon. Amen. Oh, well. I've wrecked it already. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. He shows us you got to get sealed by hearing the gospel. And then the next whole section of scripture is all about praying these spiritual blessings into your life. My. In your life, if you get hungry enough and you begin to see salvation the way it's supposed to be seen, as a free gift from God, as nothing you could ever earn in a million years, but you have it given to you, and now you're hungering and you're thirsting for it, now you're ready to do something serious with your time. And the only way that you're going to get into where this next section of scripture will take us, and we'll get into this next week, okay? The only way we get there is we have to learn these prayers and pray him 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 until you start to see light popping up when you're reading the Bible, when you're going through life, light just coming up to you. And you just know things sometimes that you didn't really know. You say things to people that you go, who is saying that? Okay. Whoa. I would have swore that was me, but I didn't think the thought at all. Okay. See, he's training us. The Holy Spirit is training us how we walk with him, but we have to get hungry.
Yes. Yes.
You have to get hungry for the things of God. You got to get hungry enough to make time in your schedule to have some serious time with him.
Yes.
Not just the thing that I've mentioned previously, just 30 seconds, 60 seconds, something like that. No. Now, if you really want to have a big time relationship with God, you're going to have to say, I do not care about the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care. I will go forward with God. And if you're here today, right now, and you want to go forward with God, hallelujah, we will gladly, in fact, joyfully help you take the road that leads to heaven. Glory to Jesus. So, Father, I pray over every person in this building right now, Father, and as we conclude this service, Father, I want to give you all the praise and all the glory for making it so easy for us to hear and to respond to the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
And Lord, oh, Father, we are so glad that we do not have to go out and run to the mountains and live in the hills for 20 years before we can qualify to be a Christian.
Yes.
Lord, you didn't make it that way. You said, no. It's all in your heart. It's all in your heart. It's all in your heart.
Yes.
That's where heaven is when you are alive on the planet Earth. So, Father, we thank you. Oh, touch these hearts in this place and set them on fire.
Yes. Yes.
Set them on fire for Jesus today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.